Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Sebring's 12 hours marks another notch in the history of American sports car racing. Phoenix did not bring fisticuffs, but drivers using cars as weapons as opposed to last week. And NASCAR Modifieds kicked off their season at the beach. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, March the 20th, 2017, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered until the top of the hour. And that top of the hour is the first day of spring 2017. If that isn't magic words to all the race fans out there, I don't know what is. A long, cold, dark winter. Springtime is here. As I was chatting with someone in the RacersReunion.com rooms there a few moments ago, good weekend of racing. More tracks are opening up a little more every week. Time to get out there and go to a track near you. What ran this past weekend? Well, let's talk about that. We'll hit up the Speedway Report Victory Lane lap right now, give you all the results of who won what in the Touring Series. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series without in the desert in Phoenix, Arizona. Ryan Newman broke an almost four-year winless drought to take the checkered flags out there on the one-mile track. Crew chief Luke Lambert stayed out on the last caution period with just a few laps to go. Got him the track position, no tires, held on for the win. Ryan Newman in victory lane. Saturday's Xfinity race opened up the weekend on Phoenix on the mile. Justin Allgaier took the checkered flag there. This was a dash for cash race for the Xfinity series, which really limited the amount of Cup drivers that were in the field. I believe you couldn't have been a full-time Cup driver for the past 5 years or with at least 5 years experience. It certainly improved the quality of the race. We had a lot of names, almost like an Xfinity series, like we wish was there every single week. Their own stars, their own cars, their own drivers. Allgaier, your winner. NASCAR's Whelen Modified Tour, not the South, not the North, but the Unified Tour. No longer a Southern series for that. Oh, they opened their season in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and it was the natural Timmy Salamito taking the checkered flag. Lots of crashes, lots of bent iron down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Salamito, your winner, taking the trophy back to New York. We saw that race live on FansChoiceTV.com Saturday night. Nice internet broadcast. We talked to Mike Neff from Myrtle Beach Speedway just last week on the show. If you want to hear more about the Myrtle Beach Speedway and our archived show there. NASCAR's K&N Pro Series West Tour was in Tucson, Arizona. They opened their season as well. Chris Eggleston took the checkered flag there. Big race in the IMSA Tour, the 12 Hours of Sebring, was won by Wayne Taylor Racing. Behind the wheel, Ricky Taylor, Jordan Taylor, and Alex Lynn. Nice feather in their cap as they were also the winners of the Rolex 24 at Daytona back in January. The brothers Taylor also drove the car there along with Max Angelelli and Jeff Gordon. So between basically 36 hours of racing, they haven't missed a beat. Straight through, solid effort with those Cadillacs. NHRA had a little bit of time off after an early start to the year. They got back going with the Gator Nationals in Gainesville, Florida. Top Fuel was won by Tony Schumacher in Funny Car. Oh my goodness, John Force was your winner there. How many does he have? 148th final round win for John Force. Pro Stock was won by Shane Gray, and the Pro Stock Motorcycles opened up their season, their opening race won by Eddie Krawick. The Lucas Oil late models, well, they had some laps in some races scheduled. Mother Nature had other ideas. Friday night, they were to be at the Atomic Speedway in Ohio. Yeah, weathered out. Postponed to April 20th. Yes, we will have results on our show. And Saturday's race in Brownstown, Indiana, we call it the Indiana Icebreaker, that was weathered out and canceled again. And it seems like fairly often, very frequently, this race, the Icebreaker up in Indiana for the late models, gets postponed year after year. Kind of reminds me a little bit about those early season sprint car races in Pennsylvania that started in late February. Very, very optimistic as they get weathered out and postponed, canceled all the time. The World of Outlaw Sprint Cars did have better weather in California. At the Thunder Bowl Raceway, Friday night's feature was taken by David Gravel, a native of my home state of Connecticut. And on Saturday night, who else? Donnie Schatz wins the A-Main. What's he up to so far out of 8 World of Outlaw Sprint Car A-Mains so far this season? He's taken 6 of them. Yeah, everybody that worked hard all winter hoping to catch Schatz doesn't look like they're quite there yet. He is out of the gates hard and fast and looking for another World of Outlaw Championship. USAC Midgets were in DeCoyne, Illinois at the Southern Illinois Center. All the weather troubles that the Lucas Oil late models had, not so much for the Midgets because they were inside. They had some indoor racing in Illinois in March, probably a good idea. Justin Grant takes the USAC Midget feature. Other big short track races, the Rattler 250 for the Pavement Super Late Models was held at South Alabama Speedway. Ty Majeski won that race for the second year in a row. He was a late race leader this year. 1 year ago, he dominated the race. This year, he was in the right place, right time on the final restart. Did not have the best car, he said, but he did win the race. Saturday's preliminary event for the Pro Late Models, the Baby Rattler 125, was won by Justin South. And the Southern Modified Racing Series, not NASCAR sanctioned, but just the Southern Tour for pavement-style late models, ran 125 laps yesterday afternoon in Asheboro, North Carolina. John Smith was the winner there. Named Justin, first name Justin, popular choice. We had 3 guys this week on the rundown that had checkered flags. And a little Southern Modified action. I like it with a Saturday night race in Myrtle Beach and a Sunday afternoon show in Asheboro. Similar to old style racing, where when I grew up, before the tour time, Modifieds just towed up and down the East Coast, barnstormers, so to speak. They just went, had at it, boys, and just liked to race and race and race. So hats off to those guys, a few of the guys doing double duty, Saturday night in Myrtle Beach and Sunday afternoon in Asheboro. Let's talk about driver rivalries and fights and all this good stuff. That came out of Phoenix, and that really caught my eye. Week before, we had Kyle Busch and Joey Logano really going at it on pit road after an on-race incident. There was debate right there. Let's back it up a week. Should we be bumping each other? Should we be fighting? Should we be grabbing each other? What are we doing here, driver to driver? What should we be doing? I've always been one to believe that I'd like race car drivers to conduct themselves professionally to the point where they are professional athletes and they are examples to children. However, I don't fall back on the product or the excuse that these guys are in charge of raising anybody's children. If they don't behave professionally, lose their temper, act like children, what have you, that's still not my fault, more my problem or my kid's fault. It's people, we need to raise our own children. Don't look for athletes to do that. Yes, if they set a good example, wonderful. If they set a bad example, if you're doing your job as a parent, that shouldn't affect your child's upbringing so much. So where do we go with this in auto racing? The age-old question. Years ago, decades, it was very dangerous to wreck another guy. You know, death and injuries were much more prevalent in the sport. Guys settled it with their fists. Well, we didn't like that because the children are watching. What do you do in today's day and age in 2017? What do we do? We cannot use race cars as weapons. I think that's my big pet peeve, especially how the drivers and teams in the sport is aligned today. These guys, professional drivers, don't pay for their cars. They're certainly not working on them. They're hired as drivers. That's all they do. I think a generation or two ago, they looked at the guy in front of them and wanted to wreck him, but realize he's got to work on his own car. He's got to pay for his own car. It's better off if we settle it like men out of the cockpit. Also, there's payback involved. I want to go take him out. Well, he's going to be looking for me the next race. Look, I work on my own car. I pay for my own car. Let's not do this. We'll take care of it in the parking lot and settle it like men. Kyle Busch and Joey Logano did something like that the other week on the NASCAR Tour. This week, we had guys using race cars to get their point across. Who was it? None other than Austin Dillon, grandson of Richard Childress, driver of Richard Childress Racing, and he had his problem with Cole Custer driving in the Xfinity Series in one of Gene Haas's rides. To start the event on track, Cole Custer went underneath Austin Dillon, overdrove the corner. Custer got loose, tried to correct his car, wiggled, bumped into Dillon. Dillon goes in the outside wall, rear clips the car. It's pretty much stuffed in through the rear glass. We've seen that happen plenty of times over the year. Rookie mistake. Cole Custer admitted it, admitted fault. It was his fault. Said he screwed up. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Here comes Austin Dillon under caution and uses his car to pin Cole Custer up against the wall under yellow. Full-time cup guy. Full-time cup guy who's racing part-time in the Xfinity Series. Like I pointed out earlier, real thin on cup guys. The big superstars were not there. Even though Dillon has quite the resume in trucks in Xfinity, he's not by any means a superstar in cup, has the potential to be there. But rammed Custer up into the wall. Not hard. But really used his car to make his point. If there's kind of like the quintessential guy or people, it's the Dillon boys that get called out as being the Silver Spoon grandchildren of Richard Childress. Kevin Harvick has gone on camera spouting off about that. People are well aware within the garage area of where the Dillon boys are, where they get their money from, how they race. Not saying they're bad race car drivers. I think they're very good race car drivers, but they are also the grandsons of the man that owns the team. They're not in the shop that early in the morning unloading wrecked race cars, cutting off pieces, repairing, fixing them. That's not how it operates. They're drivers. They don't have to fix them. I don't like that in today's day and age where these drivers smash cars, use their cars as weapons. They're paid multimillionaires. They don't have to work on them. The money wouldn't really hit these guys hard as far as a penalty. I would say the bigger penalty is what Jack Roush did to a couple young drivers of his years ago, have them in there at Monday morning at 7 a.m., unloading these wrecked cars, working alongside the guys right through in the fab shop, finished fab, heavy fab, cutting these chassis apart, going through the body shop, rebuilding these cars and making them aware of all the work that goes into these. Not that they're not aware, but let them know firsthand. They know that they can lose their temper on Saturday afternoon and on Monday morning. That's really not going to mean much to them. I was not a fan of it. Basically, I would rather much see Austin Dillon and Cole Custer throw down inside the garage area man-to-man as opposed to just banging cars around. Cole Custer screwed up. He made a mistake. He admitted it. Didn't try to dodge the point. Admitted it was his fault. It was his fault. I'm cool with that. Austin Dillon, what the hell, man? What were you doing? I don't get it. What were you doing? You should go fix the car. Yeah, it wasn't your fault, but you got wrecked in an Xfinity Series race. You wake up at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., get to the shop. You unload the car and bring it out there. Custer's was at least an accident. You're shooting through him with a bullseye on purpose. I'm sorry, dude. Not a fan of it at all. So, Austin Dillon, if there's a thumbs down for the week, I like you, bro, but no. What you did, no. Wrong. No excuse for it. Moving on to a bit happier news. I want to talk about one Kyle Larson. Call him the hottest guy in NASCAR. 100% the hottest guy in NASCAR right now. He has, I'm doing the numbers in my head. In 2017, three consecutive second place finishes. If you go back to Homestead last year, he has 4 second place finishes in the last 5 cup races. Circumstances go either way, he could be talking about a win. Where is that other race? It was the Daytona 500. Where was he? He was leading at the white flag when he ran out of fuel and Kurt Busch got around him for the win. Yes, the hottest guy in NASCAR, the biggest name in NASCAR, no question. Kyle Larson is the guy in stock car racing right now. And yeah, he was a guest on the show several years ago in the NASCAR K&N East Series Championship. We had him on here, talked to him. He just came out of sprint cars. Outstanding young man there. Looks like after a few years of getting his feet underneath him at Chip Ganassi, he is absolutely on the right track and heading towards being a superstar in the NASCAR world. Going back to the Xfinity Series race a little bit more, I think the lack of Cup guys certainly added to the interest and excitement of it. The race just had a different feel to it. It was a better race, period. Lack of the Cup superstars, lack of those Cup teams, and it was Xfinity Series drivers. People have been screaming about it for years. Let's have our own series. Let's let these guys. Not everybody is moving up to Cup. Some of them are making a career in motorsports. Not everybody's going to go to Cup. Xfinity Series, I believe it can be used as a development series. I am sick and tired of them promoting it as a development series. Where are the Jack Ingrams and Sam Ards of 2017? I'll tell you where they are. They do not exist. They're like the Loch Ness Monster. Everybody is just stopping by on their way to Cup, or they're stopping by Xfinity on their way out, or they're going to be in 30th place forever just because that's all they are. That's where all the money is. That's as best they can do. There's no stars of the series anymore. A Justin Allgaier, someone like that, this could be a great place for him to be a superstar. Him, Regan Smith, Daniel Hemric. There's only so many Cup seats to go around. Let's make the Xfinity Series a destination and not just a development series and a hop, skip, and a jump with no fan identification with guys on their way to Cup. I'm going to beat up the Xfinity Series a little bit more here. As story came out recently that was kind of rumored about last year, but it came out over the weekend. Big sigh on this one. The Xfinity Series will use restrictor plate engines at Indianapolis when they race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I'll say that again. Xfinity Series are going to use restrictor plate engines at Indy. What's the matter, NASCAR? Did that race not suck enough? No, we got to make it suck more. So here we are, restrictor plate races. As much churning and anger as they drive up on everybody at Daytona and Talladega, now we're going to have restrictor plates at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the Xfinity race. You know this is a guinea pig for the Cup Series down the road. They're trying to figure out a way to make this race better. Simply put, and I don't take credit for it, but I agree with it 100%. You want to make the Xfinity race good at Indy again? Simple. Move it back to Indianapolis Raceway Park where it belongs. That race has no business being on that 2.5-mile flat rectangular track. In my opinion, hey, stock cars have no business being on a 2.5-mile rectangular flat track. They shouldn't be racing there. The Brickyard 400 and that weekend's time has come and gone. It should be somewhere else. Those empty seats at Indianapolis that once were filled is sad. The race, that speedway, is for the Indy 500, and you're messing up with the Xfinity Series with restrictor plates at Indianapolis. My goodness, move it back to IRP. Then you'll have a good race again and a lot cheaper one. And I'm really thankful for Coca-Cola. Why am I thankful for Coca-Cola? Because that's about the only chance I get to see during their commercials during a NASCAR Cup Series race. That's my only chance to see Danica Patrick. Here we are. I will follow the top ticker on the screen. There's Danica running 27th. Okay, some people have bad days. Some people have good days. That's been about where she's going to be forever. That's where she runs. That's where she is. She pops up in the top 15 every now and again. That's about all you're going to get out of her. She's been full-time in the Cup Series since 2013. 13, 14, 15, 16. So she's got 4 full-time years under her belt. And this is year number 5. There she sits. She's been about 25th her entire career. That's what she's going to be. Kind of like, you know, you toss out some names there. We've all heard them over the years. Those guys, we used to call them recycled drivers in the 80s. Not bad race car drivers, because the guy running last in the cup race is a good race car driver. Anybody running 40th on shotgun on a cup race is a good race car driver. However, that's where you are. Danica, she's 25th. She's going to be 25th. On a good day, she's 20th. On a bad day, she's 30th. Stop waiting for this thing to take off and for her to get the hang of it and go to the front. It's not going to happen. She was mid-pack in Cup. She was mid-pack in IndyCar. They had about a 20-car field when she was in IndyCar. She was about a 10th-place driver. Now we got 40 cars. She's about a 20th-place driver. Is what it is. Yes, you're a good race car driver. This has been a marketing story waiting to become a sports story. It's going to continue to be a marketing story. That's all it is. Brad Keselowski had a nice top 5 finish, but the hammer will drop. The car failed post-race technical inspection at Phoenix. What did it fail? Unspecific numbers were not released. Specific numbers we don't release, so it's somewhat unspecific, but it was the laser rig. The weights of the car, the corner weights of the car, and the laser. That's pretty heavy fine. You're going to see the crew chief probably suspended 3 weeks. You're going to see a fine probably in the $50,000 range. You're going to see a point penalty. It's spelled out pretty much black and white, but they were on the West Coast over the weekend. I would expect by Wednesday. Check out the Goat Rodeo tomorrow night. They may have some info on it. You might not hear about it until Wednesday, though, because it was a West Coast race. Pretty black and white there, but you can expect Paul Wolf. I think he's got a 3-week vacation coming for him pretty soon. Charlotte Motor Speedway, my local track. What's happening there? Guess what? To go with all the other good news I just rattled off for you, they're going to remove more seats. Yes, that's right. Near the Turn 4 area, year after year, the crowd keeps shrinking. The property can't hold these people. Low-demand seats, low-demand suites, not going to be around that much longer. More seats coming out of the Charlotte Motor Speedway, along with the 5-figure and plus that have already been removed there since 2010 and up. More seats coming out of there. Why? Can't sell the tickets. Don't need them. And where is Juan Pablo Montoya? Where is JPM? He added a lot of excitement to NASCAR. Too bad he's gone. Well, he will be in action at Indianapolis in May for Team Penske. Yes, he has a ride for the Grand Prix in the second week of May, and then he will be competing in the Indianapolis 500. Does not have a full-time gig this year, kind of hopping around, looking what's available, if at all. He certainly doesn't need the paycheck, but too good a talent to sit on the sidelines. JPM, Juan Pablo Montoya, will race this May in Indianapolis, both at the Grand Prix and the 500. Gratuitous plug time. You want a Speedway Report magnet or a couple of Speedway Report stickers in black or white? Direct message me your address. We'll get them out to you. Postage and the stickers are on us. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Racers Reunion, email me, whatever. I'm connected to so many of you over the web. Just let me know what you want. Let me know where to send them. Stickers are on us. Everyone in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. The Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. Just go to the top ribbon, hit the TV button. You can watch tonight's show and all the archived programs. We have columns posted from Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and me. Now, Steve is down at Sebring, or he was over the weekend, so I'm looking forward to what he has to write this coming week with his weekend spent at the 12-hour Sports Car Classic. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work tonight. Jeff and the Racers Reunion gang will be back Tuesday at 7 Eastern Time on Racing Through History. And Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Racers Reunion Radio. Big thanks for the Racers Reunion chat room gang for joining us tonight. Good to see everybody. And if you would like to tune in, or if you did tune in late or would like to catch up on Speedway Report or any of the Racers Reunion programs, you simply catch up like this. Racers Reunion Radio produces live content each Monday and Tuesday night, and we replay them 24/7 through the week. You can hear it by clicking the radio player on the Speedway Report and Racers Reunion websites. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Don't you go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour with Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and you can follow me on Twitter at SpeedwayPat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series in Fontana, California, the season opener for the Formula One World Championship in Australia, and racing's hot topics. Thank you for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night.